Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team of Prudential Now Realty, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank our hosts and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how are things going with you?
Getting ready to drop a pool in the ground.
You just are not giving up on that thing, for sure.
Well, it finally came in, so.
Very good. Well, we're going to have to get, we're going to have to see pictures of this thing somehow or something, or put some photos on
right
the website.
Right now, it looks like, you know those drones, those predator drones? Right now, my backyard looks like you got hit with a predator drone.
Okay. I can understand that for sure.
Yeah,
so.
It's getting there.
Very good. Well, you know, home improvement, we talk a lot about that.
Adding value, and we're thinking about upgrading the front door.
We
talked about that.
Thank you very much. Upgrading the front door, the biggest return you can get.
That is correct.
Good. Well, that's great. I'm glad to hear you're not bored by any means.
No, not at all.
Excellent. Well, once again, we've got a little bit of local news in our market. We always like to kind of review what's happening, what we've seen in the news this week. And I tell you what, the big news is really the Tri-City home building. It's the new construction, majorly on the rebound. All those numbers came out from first quarter, and there was actually 500 building permits for single-family homes that were issued, and that's in comparison to 169 permits for the same period last year.
Let's see, quick math, that would be about, what, close to 60% increase?
Huge increase. Huge increase. So the total value of those permits was more than $112 million, and that's the best numbers we've seen out of that industry since 2005, when there was 528. Wow. So really great numbers coming out. There was a quote in there from Jeff Losey, who's a friend of the show. We've had him on the show before. Mm-hmm. With the Home Builders Association, and basically just said, you know, they expected the first quarter to be really good in Tri-Cities, but, you know, they didn't think it would be that good. So a lot of starts out there, you know, as we drive around and get a feel for things, we see a lot of building going on. But just a huge, huge uptick. So it's going to be interesting to see. Everybody's kind of holding their breath as we approach this, you know, last week of tax credits, and a couple buyers out there still trying to take advantage of that. So it'll be interesting to see how this translates 2 or 3 months down the road. So we're going to have a lot to talk about here on the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. So
absolutely.
Home building on the rebound, that's definitely the big news that we had around here in the Tri-Cities in real estate over the last week. And now we have a guest this week. We've been running some promos, and we are going to talk about the legal issues and pitfalls that we can have with buying and selling real estate. And
cue Perry Mason music here.
Exactly. And there is, you know, it is a contract, you know, that we're signing to buy the house, and what's in it becomes very important. So we have Lacey Young with Harrigan Voigt here to talk to us about some construction and real estate law. Lacey, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Lance.
Now, I guess we'll give you a quick introduction to the listeners. Why don't you tell us a little bit about where you work, what you guys do?
Certainly. It's Lacey Young, and I work for Harrigan Voigt. We're a local firm here in Kennewick, Washington, and my phone number is 509-943-6691. And we do a variety of matters, everything from construction matters to real estate law, and in particular with all this increase in our local market, there's a lot of people thinking about both buying and selling homes. So we're going to talk a little bit about the issues facing both buyers and sellers in this market.
So, Lacey, there's a little clause in the contract that we sign that is kind of the gist for this whole show. I mean, it's amazing when you break down a real estate contract paragraph by paragraph what you find in there. And not a lot of people do that, and sometimes, you know, I think there's some agents that don't do that, you know. So it's very important to know what's in there. But the clause is this, and this is what the show's about, and it is that it says exactly word for word out of the agreement, buyer and seller are advised to seek the advice of an attorney and a certified public accountant to review the terms of this agreement. Well, Lacey, I think a lot of the listeners are going to say, that's what I thought I had a real estate agent for.
Yeah, and you know, I feel for you guys because you guys' hands are kind of tied behind your back because you, under the law in Washington, cannot give legal advice to either buyers or sellers. So it is important that they seek out the advice of both an attorney and perhaps even their accountant for specific tax issues, especially with the home buyer tax credit that's going on. A lot of people have questions about that. I would encourage them to see either their attorney or their tax professional.
Okay, so now when we look at this contract and people are looking it over, you know, and someone says, gosh, you know what, I think I am going to have an attorney review this before we submit it, which we, you know, we always encourage people to do in those situations. What is the first thing that you're going to look at when you look at that purchase and sale agreement? Because to most people, they're all pretty standard forms. You know, we always use the same form. But
most people are worried about, okay, did you get my payment right? Did you get my interest rate right?
Right.
They're more worried about the numbers as opposed to the language
in that
contract. What this contract is going to make them responsible for.
So what is the first thing that when someone brings you a purchase and sale agreement like that, that you're looking for from your standpoint?
I guess before even they get to that point, what their financing is, again, that goes back to the numbers. As people, that's one of their largest concerns. And a lot of times people that wonder, hey, how can an attorney help me as a buyer? Well, when they're getting financing, we can assist them in those negotiations. And sometimes in those financing agreements, and a lot of people are getting pre-approved these days, which is a good way to go, but they need some help in negotiating with the bank or even knowing what all that paperwork means. Way before they get to the closing, you know, we can look at those financial arrangements. Another consideration in those, and like you say, they are standardized forms, but there's some variation for their specific needs. There's also title insurance involved, and a lot of people don't understand title insurance. Sometimes title insurance only protects you for a very short period, like the day you buy the house. What if something...
Wow.
And what if something crops up 30 days later? If it's new construction, those contractors that worked on your house have 90 days from the last day they were in that house to file a lien on your property. So you might have bought the house and it was free and clear of liens the day you bought it, but you might have a big surprise coming 30 days down the road.
So, I mean, for instance, that's a great situation that you bring up. And how do you... I guess, what's the vehicle or maybe this gets too complicated, but for instance, that what you just brought up is a great example. So you have people working in a home, and then you close on the home, and you're telling me that, you know, contractors that have been in that home, if they weren't paid, can come back. How do you protect yourself in that situation? What are you going to tell a buyer?
There's a couple of things that you can do. Obviously, you want to review the title report or hire counsel, legal counsel to review that title report. Also, if it's new construction, you may want to ask the contractor to provide lien releases from those subcontractors. In addition to this, it's an expense and very few people do it. You can ask for an extra endorsement on your title insurance to protect from subsequent lien filings. This is something that nobody ever thinks of or rarely ever looks at until they're in that yucky situation of having to pay for their home twice.
Wow,
paying for your home
so
twice.
So if you have a brand new house built, and let's say that you use company XYZ, and the owner of XYZ doesn't pay the five-man crew that built your house, because they built the house, they can put a lien on the house until they get paid, even though you own it.
That is correct. And in addition to that, the law in Washington is very strict that the owner ultimately becomes responsible for those liens. They might have a claim against their contractor as well, but he could be long gone or bankrupt by the time that you get around to doing that or aware of the situation.
And, you know, it seems like not a day goes by, not necessarily in the mid-Columbia, but not a day goes by that you don't hear about some contractor who didn't pay his employees or did just that. That is a, you know, it does happen within the industry.
Yeah.
So you would think that there are probably potentially dozens, if not hundreds of people out there, you know, not just in the Tri-Cities, I'm saying, but potentially there's a lot of people out there that could be in this situation.
That's correct.
Well, and one of the things that I counsel people to from a real estate standpoint is, you know, a lot of times there are companies in town that I've done, you know, hundreds of transactions with, you know, and there's people that are building, you know, 20, 30, 40 homes, and they're closing. We've done business with them forever, and they've got that reputation. A lot of times there's a certain weight that is given to that and that I think is justifiable of, yes, you know, they've been around, they've done it, they haven't had these problems. But a lot of times, and I'm not saying this is always the case, but when someone new comes into an area and they don't have a track record here, or maybe they are new to building and, you know, they don't have that type of track record, it's a lot of times in those cases where I think it's more important that somebody go ahead and take the steps that you're talking about.
I agree, but I also definitely recommend caution, even if the builder has a great reputation in the community. With the change in the economy, we're definitely seeing bankruptcies and contractors that previously did not have foreclosures and other issues facing those. So I would say take the caution. It's the biggest investment you make is your home. Go ahead and get that few extra pieces of paperwork that can make the difference between you paying thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars extra on your home.
Wow.
And for the listeners out there for that last segment, yes, that is called friction. Mr. Realtor trying to smooth it over a little bit. The attorney over here on the other mic telling me that I'm full of it and we should check every time.
So, you know, you were mentioning...
I would listen to her.
You were mentioning liens, too. And we had kind of talked about this when we were previewing the show last week a little bit. Let's say you're buying a pre-owned piece of property. That same thing would apply as well. If Barney over here is trying to sell his house, and you find out later that he's on the hook for a lot of money, and he owes this and owes that, and there's liens against his house, it would be a good idea to have an attorney go through the whole thing and make sure, because he would be on the hook as well, right?
That is correct. Pre-existing homes that have had occupants could have had remodeling work done. There could be a lien for that remodeling work. There could be tax liens. There could be a variety of liens. So it's not just new construction.
I think another great point that she brings up, too, is sometimes understanding those exceptions that are on title reports. You know, and I mean, this is a whole nother show. It would be great for us to I'll go ahead and schedule a title officer to come in and talk to us about this, because this is I just thought of this. It would be a great show for us to have in the next couple weeks. But there are going to be exceptions on that title policy involving liens, maybe previous leases. You know, we just had something like this come up in real life about a week and a half ago here. So like you're saying, at that point, you're going to want to have an attorney review exactly what that lease is. That because an exception on a title report is something they're saying title is clear, except this. Mm-hmm. And that except this is what you could help evaluate as an attorney what that exception is, correct?
That is correct. And there's also exceptions for things such as easements. There's covenants on the property, all those things that you might not be aware of when you're purchasing the property. What are you going to use it for? Are you going to want to run a business out of your home? That might be restricted in the neighborhood that you choose to purchase a home. Comes up more often than you think that, you know, a year down the road, somebody decides to start a business and they're quite upset when the homeowners association wants to fine them $100 a day for having their work truck out front. So those are things to consider.
Those are very valuable. That happened to us because of the covenants and the easements and the setbacks in our particular neighborhood. There's only one guy in the only one lot in our entire development where the house meets the stipulations to allow him to have a garage. You know, we can't put a garage in.
Right.
Because we were thinking about doing one, and so we started asking questions, and in kind of a crude sort of way, we talked to some legal people, and they looked at them, and you can't do that because, the garage has to be X number of feet from the street as set in the covenants and the rules of your neighborhood association, so you cannot put up a garage.
Yeah, it's really important.
It could be something as simple as that. But the bottom line is you need to have an attorney go through all these nuts and bolts and make sure that a month, 3 years, 5 years down the road, you're not going to get dinged with something out of left field.
You're exactly right. And for a relative low cost in the beginning, it sounds like, especially when you're dealing with building issues like you talked about, it sounds like this could be really be a cheap protection. So
invest a little bit now to avoid getting hosed in the future.
Exactly right. Yeah. And scheduling wise, I guess from a real estate standpoint, Lacey, I have to ask, you know, when someone has a contract like that, we're usually trying to put something in, an offer in. A lot of times what we do for our clients, just so that people out there know, is we can go ahead and make that offer and tie the property up. And then what we can do is we can make that offer subject to the review of your attorney within 3 or 4 days of mutual acceptance. So that way, you know, we can tie the property up, get it under contract, get the basic terms done, and then take that to you. Is that a reasonable time period, 3 to 4 business days, that you could review that and get back to us?
Yeah, I think that that's certainly realistic. You know, every attorney varies as far as what their scheduling is, but in our firm, if things are time sensitive and we're aware of those time sensitivities, we'll do what we can to accomplish that so that they can get into the home when they want to get into the home.
Mm-hmm. That sounds great. I sure appreciate it. We've been talking to Lacey Young with Harrigan Voigt, kind of going over some of the legal pitfalls and issues with the legal side of the contract that people might need to worry about. So when we come back from the break, we're going to talk a little bit more about some additional legal issues, get a landscaping and maintenance update, and go from there. You've been listening to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update.
Right here on News Talk 870, and we'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been here talking with Lacey Young of Harrigan Voigt about some of the legal pitfalls with real estate and contracts and some of the legal issues we need to consider. Switching gears a little bit here before we get back to Lacey. I know it is definitely well into spring. We've got weeds growing in our flower beds I've been taking care of. We've been spraying, and there is just a lot of landscape issues right now. So let's check in with Brent Gamash and Gamash Landscaping. And Brent, what is happening with landscaping right now, and what do we need to know about?
Thank you, Lance. Well, yeah, a lot of issues. Weather's changing drastically. It got warm, now it got cold again, a little windy. Weeds are growing. Even without KID water, weeds are growing. So it's important to keep those weeds under control, spraying some type of pre-emergent so they don't get out of control. Then it takes up your Saturdays.
And Brent, what are some things that people are doing right now as far as getting ready for spring? Are we throwing plants in the ground, getting trees and such and things like that?
Planting-wise, you know, nurseries are now open full bore. Color should be coming in pretty soon, annual color, because hopefully our frost is gone for the year. And once again, we do have our nursery down there at Columbia Park Trail, 1212 address. Been there about 3 years now, so please come down and take a look. And but overall, you know, if we're getting fertilizers on your lawn and your shrubs, very important still on the shrubs. And by getting the watering schedule at every other day, hopefully gets those roots deeper in the ground for your lawn and your shrubs.
Now, I'm sure, Brent, that if folks want more information about how they can get things watered correctly and take care of the lawn and basically anything and everything they need to know, they would probably find it at your website, and let us know what that is.
It's GamashLandscaping.com. We're at 1212 Columbia Park Trail. Telephone number 735-9100. You could also do a contact us on our website page as well.
And, of course, you guys do have the nursery down there where folks can get lots of great plants. And let us know what hours that's open, too.
Oh, nursery hours. Nursery hours Wednesday to Friday, 9 to 6, and Saturday, Sunday is 9 to 4. Also, as well, you know, Gamash Landscaping, you know, starting our 18th year here in the Tri-Cities. You know, remember, we do just about everything to do with the custom landscape, commercial and residential, new installs, redos. We do full maintenance contracts for commercial and residential as well. We have service techs that go out and troubleshoot and repair irrigation problems. And we also have a certified backflow tester certified through the state to come out and test your backflow, which is supposed to be tested by state law once a year. For those of you who don't know,
you know, we were talking before we started this segment, and there was something else we were talking about: water pressure, irrigation, things like that. There was an important tip or two that you wanted to pass on to our listeners. In fact, after we moved into our house 10 years ago, I kind of found this out the hard way. An important idea when you're first cracking open that water system.
Yeah, when the irrigation or city water comes on, there's a lot of pressure behind those lines. So when you do turn your valve on to fire up your system for the spring, turn on that valve very slowly. There's a lot of pressure and a lot of force behind that, and it'll save you possibly some major breaks in your main line. And when you have your fertilizer down for your lawn, try to wait till your water does come on, because you can actually stress or burn that grass a little bit, because that chemical will just sit there until the water activates it down into the soil.
And something else that we wanted to mention, and it's not just because we recently did it, but a lot of folks are upgrading their lawns. You're seeing a lot of sod going in these days, instant green, if you treat it right. What's an idea that folks can do to help make sure that all that sod they put down turns into the lawn that they want?
Yeah, any size patch or install of any sod at all is going to need, you know, ample moisture multiple times during the daytime, even with weather like we have right now in the spring, still at least three times a day. And the duration really depends on your soil type. If it's real sandy, you could put more down. If it's going to be a lot of clay, it won't take as much soil or much water to keep the soil moist. But one time a day really just probably won't make sod root in very fast, so you really want to keep it moist all the time.
Thanks a lot for that update, Brent. We sure appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Lance, again this month, and I'll see you in about a month. Appreciate it.
And now we're going to get back to a little bit of real estate. I definitely this week have a pick three before we get back to some of the legal issues. There is a lot of great property coming online out there. And I tell you what, my number one pick this week, we put a great, great home on the market. This home is located at 1600 West 25th Avenue in Kennewick. It is a large home. It's a five-bedroom home with a den, two-and-a-half bath, two-story home. It's just a must-see. It has a formal dining room, a big open kitchen, tons of storage space, a beautiful yard. It's got all of this, plus it's got that country porch on the front that you can just sit out and entertain and enjoy with the kids. This has a great neighborhood near shopping and in Kennewick, and all of this is priced at $250,000.
Wow.
So, folks, there's about, let's see, 6 days left that you can take advantage of that move-up credit. If you've been looking in this price range, this is definitely one you want to consider. Pick number two is at 2513 West 35th Avenue in Kennewick. This, once again, is a fabulous home, very similar to the last one we talked about. It is basically a four-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bath home, 2,900 square feet. It was built in 2001, and it's in Shadow Run up there in Kennewick, right beside Canyon Lakes out there. And this house is priced at $230,000.
Wow.
The owner is relocating to Seattle, and he called us up, and he said, Lance, let's get it sold, and if we can sell it to a move-up tax credit buyer, bring us an offer.
There you go.
So that's 2513 West 35th in Kennewick. Beautiful home.
That is a nice neighborhood.
And then pick number three, we've got just a couple days on the market. I don't expect this to last long. It's 3504 Emerald Downs. That's over in Pasco, right off of Road 68 in the Chapel Hills area. Mm-hmm. This is a three-bedroom, two-bath home, almost 1,600 square feet, built in 2005. This is one of those repos that we've got out there with an open floor plan, large master bedroom. And it is priced at $164,900. It's vacant.
Wow.
You can show it anytime. Just give us a call. So, once again, you can get me, Lance Kenmore, at 727-8977 if you're interested in any of those pick three that we just went over.
I have a hunch that last one you mentioned will not be available when we do the show next week. I just have a feeling it's going to be gone.
It very possibly could be one of those last first-time home buyer tax credit houses that's used in this last week. So
you're
exactly right. It's a great, great opportunity. So, Lacey, I know there's some more legal issues we haven't gotten to. In fact, I'm certain we haven't even scratched the surface yet. But you know what comes up a lot is we get a lot of times people have questions about how to hold title to a property. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that is a legal issue that comes up frequently for people. And there's a lot of different ways in which you can hold title to a property. You can do it as an individual with another person, in the name of an entity, such as for an investment property, such as a trust or a limited liability company. Then there's those married folks out there. If you're buying a home, it's presumed to be community property here in the state of Washington, since it's a community property state. There's a lot of tax issues that fall into place with this too. For instance, the capital gains issue, if you're buying it for investment versus for your own home. also we have those folks out there who are couples or and they're just wanting to purchase a property together. However, they don't get that benefit of the community property laws, but there's things that they can do to protect their interest while investing into that property. Even if the relationship isn't sustained, they still have that vested interest in the property, and they can do it as tenants in common or as joint tenants for that property, which will protect their interest. And that's something that comes up quite often now with folks. Somebody comes in there, hey, you know, I invested $30,000 to this home I shared with someone, and, you know, now I can't get my money back out of that because, you know, I didn't take the necessary steps to protect myself. There's not a lot I can do for them.
So for instance, yeah. I was going to say, like, if you're, like, I mean, it's almost like if you were, like, unofficial, like, partners. Like, say there wasn't a legal partnership set up, but two people were buying a home to live together, you know, and they weren't married, or maybe, you know, there was two people in college buy a home to fix it up. So you're saying there's issues of how you take title to that in the beginning that can protect their investments in that home.
Correct, because otherwise it just becomes a contest of who is actually on the title, who did the financing, or the documents that we have to look at. However, one person may not have had great credit, but they made a cash contribution towards the home. Mm-hmm. In the end, they may not get that cash contribution back if they did not protect themselves in the beginning.
Yeah, and this also applies to couples, too, because, you know, a couple people buy a house and, say, in the case of a divorce, who owns the house? You know, now granted it's a community property state, but it goes much deeper than that. Or, as you said, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend buy a house, they plan to get married, they don't. Who owns the house? And you hear about stuff like this all the time, these legal issues where people find themselves, well, you know, I bought the house, I did all this, but it turns out the other person actually ends up entitled to it because person A didn't protect themselves legally. These all fall under that umbrella.
Yeah, that is correct. A lot of times people fail to look at, you know, the scenarios that may arise. We call lawyers worst case scenarios are our best friends. Because
oh boy, oh boy. Tell it like it is. I worst case scenarios. Okay, so tell me this. This happens a lot. A couple gets divorced. One person is... maybe there's not much to be awarded equity-wise or not, but one person is awarded the house in a settlement like that, or maybe one person stays with the house. But what happens a lot of times is that doesn't relieve the other party from the responsibility of paying for that mortgage.
Correct.
Because they can not get the asset, maybe, but at the same time, that mortgage is still showing up on their credit. I mean,
yeah,
selling the house.
One person moves out, the person who moves out and doesn't have anything to do with the house anymore, their former spouse defaults on the loan, and all of a sudden, this person starts getting phone calls, the ex-husband or ex-wife, and saying, well, your ex-partner defaulted on the loan, you're on there, so we're going to come after you.
So tell me, in that case, I mean, is really selling the house the only way to absolve that debt?
Well, you know, it's interesting because it's like one of the number one issues regarding bad credit. You see, you know, those lists of bad credit, divorce, as being at the top of that list. There's a reason for that. It's things as what was just described, is somebody gets left with the debt unknowingly. And there are things that you can do as far as in your divorce decree. Make sure that it's subject to you being removed from the title, for instance.
Gotcha.
For the other person to obtain the asset or being bought out of it. So there are things and ways that that can be taken care of, and you should make sure and consult your attorney that that is being done, so you're not left with a mess or a surprise down the road that your former spouse has defaulted and left you with a big fat credit mess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's, I mean, definitely a lot of issues to consider there. Well, Lacey, as we kind of wrap up some of our time here, I guess if you could give us maybe one or two pointers that you think as people approach real estate transactions, and like you said, kind of worst case scenarios, maybe things start to go sideways a little bit or they have questions. What's really kind of the number one piece of advice you would give somebody that does have a legal question and might not know what to do with it?
I call it preventative medicine. You know, you do a little bit of it up front and you can avoid the costly illness at the end, which is ending up with a contract that you're displeased with or something going awry and costing you money. It is your largest investment for most people is their home. And, you know, just spending a few dollars up front, you know, a phone call to the lawyer to answer a question, you know, really isn't going to cost you that much, and you have the peace of mind of that you know the answer and what you're getting into. So that would be my recommendation.
Great. And as we wrap up here, I know we were talking a little bit about this on the break. I think what's great about your firm, and I just want to mention this for our potential listeners on the other side of the coin, is you really know both sides of it. You know the consumer side really well because you've seen what's happened. But at the same time, for all of our contractors out there and people with small businesses and working, you can help them because you know that side of it so well also. Is that not correct?
That is correct, Nance. I can help everybody from a small subcontractor to the small individual that's just desiring to buy or sell a home to somebody that's just wanting to start their first business. I can help them incorporate and do some of those things to protect their assets. So not just in the real estate market, but construction and business-wise.
That's great. Well, once again, I sure appreciate you taking the time to educate the listeners a little bit.
I feel smarter already.
Give us some advice and really help out, because there's a lot of legal issues out there. And like you said, it doesn't have to blow up into a big problem. And I think sometimes people are maybe a little afraid to talk to an attorney, you know, to do that. But in the beginning, it might make a huge difference.
These are things that, you know, better to do it now. If you have a question, if you have doubts, get it taken care of. Do your preventative maintenance ahead and you'll be much better off in the future.
Well, that sounds great. Well, thanks again. One more time, how can folks get a hold of you if they need to?
Yes, thank you for having me. Lacey Young, Harrigan Boat, 509-943-6691. Thank you.
All right. You've been listening to Lance Kenworth, or Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We appreciate you tuning in, and we look forward to seeing you next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.